Hi there. Welcome to the Woman Inspired Podcast. I'm Karen, your host, and I'm really glad you joined me today. I'm not sure where you're listening or tuning into, but you can find me on pretty much any podcast platform that there is. So you can just plug in, turn on, tune in, turn up your volume, whatever you need to do. And if you wouldn't mind sharing this podcast with someone that you love or someone you don't like and make them endure it, whichever it is that's in your mindset to do. Hopefully they'll be blessed from it, and I hope that you are too. So today's podcast episode is titled Liars and Fighters and Hair. Oh my. Now you may not be able to tell by the title what exactly this is about, and that's okay, because if you're new here, that's normal. It's probably the only normal thing about this podcast. I'm not objectionable to what I would consider trendy, modern, straight-to-the-point journalistic-style titles for each episode, but my brain just doesn't go there. It doesn't latch onto them. You know what kind I'm talking about, right? The kind where blogs and podcasts start with things like 7 Steps to a Healthier You or the 3 Keys to Spiritual Warfare. Straight to the point, right there where you're Googling to find something on those particular topics. But my brain tends to skim right over them. I have, and probably will again, have to write a blog, an article, or I don't know, do an interview or something that I'm passionate about and go along with the request to have a title like that, because some places do that. They want you to write a title that is befitting the current writing style that fits the algorithms and mathematical search codes that draw people in for marketing purposes, so that when someone Googles a particular topic, that article appears in the first 100 things that come up on the internet. So, but I often wonder, just because it draws someone in by the appropriate buzzwords, does the message stick? Does it hit somewhere? Does it land somewhere? Does it comfort, encourage, convict, inspire, make someone laugh? I don't know. Are the words that follow the title impacting anyone's spirit or their psyche or their journey? I hope so, because there are a lot of podcasts and articles out there with those kind of snappy titles. And I know I follow a few podcasts like that, and they're very good at outlining what's going to be in the podcast through the title. So you know if you want to hang out on it or click on it, that it's probably going to have something in it that you want. I guess I fail on that tactic because, frankly, God speaks to me on a topic and I jot down some notes and I really have no idea what's going to come out of my mouth after that point. So even though I have notes when I turn on the mic, or again, also if I'm up speaking in front of people, it looks like I'm going to speak for hours because I have so many notes. But when I get up there, it seems as if God always changes it up. I don't know who he's wanting me to speak to when I get up and speak, or when I turn on this little app that says record. I just know I need to be obedient and go with what he wants me to go with. Crazy as some of it seems, because if I don't, I might miss sharing something that someone else needs to hear. And I don't want to do that. I know that other people have written things and spoken things and sung songs that I needed for myself on many different levels, and I'm thankful for their obedience, so I try to do the same. It's not always easy to be obedient, because sometimes God calls us to do things we don't want to do. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it's frightening. Big things, little things, people and things, they can hurt. So it takes a bit of courage here and there to do what God shows you to sometimes. I know it does for me, because I tend to want to go my own way and I want to argue with him, fight and fuss and fume. I've done that plenty of times in my lifetime. I've fussed and tried to fight with God and the path he had me on. And then I'd fume, because in the end I'd do it because I knew his way is far better than mine. Sometimes it took me a long time to agree and actually do it though. But I'm always more blessed, more content, happier when I do. Okay, so I could write an article that would be highly googly. I'm not sure that that's the right word here, but I'm going to use it anyway. Like, what do you think of these titles? 5 Ways to Fight, Fuss, and Fume with God. Or 10 Alternative Ways to Say, well, I wanted my own way and I didn't get it. I saw an article a while back that cracked me up. The title was 5 Ways to Walk Away from This Blog and Go Have Fun. Now that's my idea of a snappy title. So anyway, I'm quite remiss in my podcasting apparently because I realized that I'm just launching into things and I forgot to share with you some pod quotes, which is usually what I do at the beginning of every episode. And so as we delve into liars and fighters and hair, oh my, let me start with these quotes that kind of smacked me in the face concerning today's episode. The first one is from the Bible. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." And then I have a quote I love from Nelson Mandela. "I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers that fear." So if you hadn't guessed, what I'm talking about today is courage. Yeah, that thing that most of us long to have and continue to reach for, but sometimes we don't feel like we can or we know how, because it's a tool, it's a blessing, it's even a skill that will do us well if we have it throughout every day that we're blessed to be on this earth, quite frankly. And it dawned on me the other day when I saw that quote from Nelson Mandela that I grew up with an interesting idea of what courage was. Like many of you, maybe, my first implanted ideas of what courage is came from The Wizard of Oz. Yep, the Cowardly Lion. Now, I loved that character. I always thought, though, how awesome it would be when I was a kid to have him as my best friend. He was cuddly and big and funny. He liked to sing and dance, all the things that I loved. But I always got a little defensive if someone would call somebody else the Cowardly Lion, because if even only in my personal thoughts and conversations with myself, I felt like he wasn't cowardly. And I felt sorry for the lion, not because he didn't have courage, because he didn't see himself as having courage. I don't think he was cowardly at all. Now, I know this was the main theme of the movie, right? The scarecrow didn't actually have a brain, or didn't actually have a brain. The scarecrow actually did have a brain, even though he didn't think he was intelligent. He was. And the Tin Man had a heart. It showed in how both of them felt and acted and talked. And the lion, he did have courage, yet he was definitely portrayed as the most pitiful and whiny thing and wimpy thing, in my opinion. And that's what our world has convinced us cowardice looks like. A cowardly, wimpy lion. The one who is supposed to be the king of the jungle, ironically afraid of other animals. A big lion afraid of a dog. But I saw the lion a bit differently than that. And as I'm skipping my way down the yellow brick road here, let me just ask these questions that have been on my mind about The Wizard of Oz since I was little. You know, lying in my pajamas on the living room floor in front of the TV, hugging a pillow, waiting for the scary Wicked Witch of the West to bring her flying monkeys out and steal the stuffing out of the scarecrow. Oh, man, that used to scare me. Sorry, spoiler alert, if anyone hasn't seen it, that's what happens. Didn't think about that. I figured everybody has seen it, but there might be someone who hasn't seen it. It happens. Brace yourself. But anyway, all through my life at various times, I'm asking myself, how is it that the lion was king of the forest, but not king of the jungle? What? There is no lion in the forest. Maybe in Lion, Witch, in the Wardrobe. So never mind. Anyway, and if he was that lacking in courage, then how did he make his way up to the castle, out of the forest, to wait all alone on the steps, waiting and waiting to see the wizard, to see if the wizard could give him some courage? And talk about courage, he didn't hesitate one bit to sing and do a little dance in front of people he didn't know. It took me years to build up the courage to do that and not really care what other people thought of me. I mean, I found that to be courageous. I could sing and dance in my bedroom when I was younger, but in front of other people, no way. Now I don't care. I'll do it. I'll do it in the middle of the grocery store. In fact, I have, and my husband wants me to stop, but I still do it anyway. So yeah, I know it's a fictional book. In a movie, but as a kid, it really influenced me. I thought probably maybe I was the only one ever that I wanted to be like the Cowardly Lion, because even though he was afraid, he did things anyhow. And I lived a life of fear, especially when I was younger. I had obsessive compulsive disorder and it was fueled by fear. I was afraid of so many things. Even though I hid it well, I was actually very afraid. And he was afraid of so much, and yet he still did it. He still showed up. He still wanted better for himself. So here's another little quote for you. I'm going to quote a song. I won't sing it for you. You're welcome. Okay. Courage. What makes a king out of a slave? Courage. What makes the flag on the mast to wave? Courage. What makes the elephant charge his tusk in the misty mist or the dusky dusk? What makes the muskrat guard his musk? Courage. What makes the Sphinx the seventh wonder? Courage. What makes the dawn come up like thunder? Courage. What makes the Hottentot so hot? What puts the ape in apricot? What have they got that I ain't got? Courage. Yes, I just quoted the Cowardly Lion. You are welcome. In all actuality, though, he had courage, but he mixed it up with fear. Since I'm a lover of words, I looked up the definition of courage. It is the mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. I'm going to repeat that because, wow, it is the mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. Isn't that wonderful? Don't we have that messed up in today's culture, though? We think that being afraid is the same as cowardice. And conversely, our society teaches that people that doing anything we want, consequences be damned, is courageous. But it's not. If you have to have mental and moral strength, yet you use it to pursue things that are unholy, immoral, unkind, and evil, guess what? You aren't courageous. You're reckless and careless. You're mean. Big difference. So to all who struggle with feeling cowardly, please know that courage is not the lack of fear. Courage is doing the right thing, the godly thing, the moral thing, the loving thing, the kind thing, even if you are afraid of anything or everything, afraid of being alone, afraid of being judged, afraid of hurting or of being in pain, of being ridiculed, afraid of life or afraid of death. Even if you're afraid to fail or look like a fool or worse yet, feel like a fool. Maybe you're afraid that you're not good enough or smart enough or pretty enough. I'm asking you, in whose eyes? Whose eyes are you judging yourself through and why? Is it fueling your fear? Are you looking at yourself the way you think social media is or family members or coworkers or other church members? Or are you looking at yourself in the mirror and being honest, not self-deprecating or insulting, but real, honest, open, truthful? Because if you do that, then you'll know that even if you do fear, you can still have courage. And that pesky fear you feel, it will fade. Like all fear does, it will fade. It will go away. Typically, it fades, you know, over time, but sometimes it will be gone in a blink of an eye, especially when you replace fear with facts, because fears are lies. They're generated by lies. Fear is a lie. So replace your fear with facts. And in doing so, you'll be able to garner that courage. And it's like a big cycle, because when you increase your courage and you reach for that courage, it helps fade those fears. So that's what the Cowardly Lion did. The wizard pointed out the facts to him, just like he did to the Scarecrow and the Tin Man and to Dorothy, because fear is based in lies. And the fact is that the Cowardly Lion was not cowardly. He actually did have courage. But fear will grab your inability to tap into courage, into that courage that God wants you to have, that he already has waiting for you. God has courage waiting for you to grab a hold of. The title of this podcast outlines some of my fears in life that I allowed to take me over, and I didn't realize I could tap into courage for a very long time. So through bad experiences, painful situations and relationships, and some of my own vanity, this is where I got the title, Liars and Fighters and Hair. Oh my. It didn't take about 20 seconds for me to spit that out when I was thinking and praying about this podcast. Because first of all, liars. Oh, what a tangled web they weave, because many of them love to deceive. Yes, I know that's not the actual quote, so do not message me about that. Thank you very much. All right. People who have lied to me, lied about me, built a world of lies around themselves, and sling arrows at other people, and have caused me pain for most of my life, or many times in my life. Oh man, I used to cower. I was too cowardly to confront them, and then too cowardly to walk away from them. So liars helped fuel my past cowardice. That was something I was afraid of. So fighting, something I also do not like to do. I avoided at all costs, arguing, fighting, and all that goes with it. Obviously, I don't like to confront and contend with liars in the past, and it wouldn't sum up the courage to even do so, because then it would cause a fight. But sometimes you have to confront, and sometimes you have to contend, even if it causes a fight. Because a lie will always expose itself, and the person who told the lie, one way or another, at some point in time will be exposed, and you might have to contend with them. So the liars help, and the fear of them help beget the fear of fighting and the fear of confronting and contending someone. Sometimes with little or no damage, you can contend with someone, but there's always a consequence to this little web that people weave, and toxicity and drama and things like that. So unless you tap into the courage to be able to seek God on where and when to fight, where and when to contend and confront someone, and when to walk away and just let it go and let it be and not be a part of it and not be pulled back into it, then you're always going to be caught into it. You're always going to be pulled into it. You're always going to be caught in it, because it takes courage. It's an emotional and mental thing. I don't know about you all, but sometimes it's hard to gather that courage. It's taken me years. Sometimes it takes a lot of pain that's thrown at us to be able to take up the courage to say no, no more. And it does take courage. Now, I would fight and fuss and fume with God, but geez, people, human beings who brush their teeth, wash their underwear, I hope, and occasionally act stupid just like I do, no, I was afraid to contend with them. I was a coward in their midst, but no more. Because I know who to get my courage from. And I know that fear fuels cowardice, and I refuse to let it fuel that in me. All right. So liars and fighters and hair. Hair. What does that have to do with courage? Okay, that's the vanity part. I used to have long, thick, flowing hair that people complimented me about all the time. When I was just a wee little girl, I had very thin hair, but as I got older, it grew and it was beautiful. Now that I'm even older, it's just so thin. I mean, super thin. It has been for years. And very curly when it's humid and after I wash it. I pretty much look hilarious. It looks full on like I got a really bad perm from the 70s. It took me a long time to get up the courage to not wear a hat. And to stop buying and trying every potion product in the world that's marketed to try to thicken and regrow my hair. So I didn't have the courage to just accept the fact that I don't have a lot of hair, because I have medical conditions that have made it that way. So I don't just have thin hair on my head. Okay, wait. Warning, TMKI, too much Karen information. Coming your way. I have no hair on my legs or under my arms. Don't be jealous. I don't mind. Go ahead, be jealous. I haven't had to shave my legs or under my arms in 15 years. But as much as that is a perk, my lack of hair on my head and embracing the truth of it is something that has taken courage. It's a very simple personal thing, but when it comes to things like that, whether it's something we see as a flaw in ourselves, mentally, emotionally, physically, or something that we have identified as a positive about ourselves and it goes away, it takes courage to accept that truth or accept that thing, that aspect is not you. That's not who you are. And so I've accepted that. And it's taken courage. And the only place I could find that courage was through God. So maybe you have something similar in your life. Maybe a point of vanity, a place where you feel self-conscious about your eyes or your teeth or your hair or your butt or your legs. I don't know, something totally out of your control, and yet you haven't had the courage to accept that it's okay. God made you just the way you are, and some things are out of our control, and it's okay. Take heart, because God is with you in it. And it may seem small to other people, but sometimes these things have a huge impact on us. He's not ridiculing you. And if anyone understands, God knows, because he made you. But remember the quote I read? Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Whether in dealing with liars or fighters or hair, oh my, he'll be with you. What are the things in this life, big or small, complex, simple, all of the vast ways in between? What are they, the things that you need? What are they, the things that you need? Okay, let me pause. What are the things that you need courage to deal with, to accept, or to even to let go of? I would challenge you to think about that for a while, and I challenge you to take it to God. And let me not forget the other quote that I have by a man who had to, without a doubt, understand what fear, truth, courage, and bravery truly were, Nelson Mandela. And if you don't know who he is, I encourage you to Google him, because it would take 10 podcasts or more for me to even try to do his life and legacy justice. He wrote the quote I read earlier: "I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers that fear." Courage is no small thing. Even if it's a small thing, we need to we need courage to do. Courage itself is no small thing. So maybe it is something small. Maybe it's learning how to muster up courage to dance in a crowd or sing in a choir. Or maybe it's a big thing like starting your own business or getting the courage to record a podcast, confront somebody who's lying, cut someone out of your life. That's a huge thing. Or accept ourselves for who we are. Maybe it's courage to break off an unhealthy relationship or apply for a new job, report someone for abuse, sign up to serve in the armed forces. These things take a great amount of courage, and I have such respect for people who find the courage to do those things. Or maybe you need courage just to accept that you didn't get your own way in something, or to seek help for an addiction, or to go back to school, or running into a fire to help save people, sticking up for a classmate, or volunteering your time. Have the courage to give away money that you don't want to give away, but God's telling you to give away. Or babysit for a friend who has 18 kids with ADD. Bless you, that takes a lot of courage. The list of things that take most of us courage is not small. All that being said, please remember that courage is grounded in the truth that you should be doing what God tells you to do. I should be doing what God tells me to do. Listening to the way God whispers to your heart and making sure you do it with wisdom and the leading of the Holy Spirit, even in the face of fear, that takes courage. And he has that courage there for you. Joshua 1:9 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Thank you for joining me for the Woman Inspired podcast. I'm so glad you did. You can find me on Instagram by searching One Woman Inspired. That's the number one, followed by Woman Inspired. And you can go to womaninspired.com and find out how to find me for speaking engagements, retreats, events, how to communicate with me, and where I am on social media. Thank you so much for tuning in. Have a blessed day.